living in the city. I love living in the city.
What do they want? What do they want?
Welcome one and all to Black Art Radio episode number 4. I'm going to be kicking off today's show with a little track by track preview of the brand new Fear album, The Fear Record. Now you won't be hearing the entire song, so let's not get too excited or angry if you are, you know, part of the record label or leaving himself. I'm going to take 30 seconds. Well, yeah, I'm going to let you hear enough of the song, the verse, the chorus. All these songs have been re-recorded. This is an album that was originally recorded in 1978, somewhere around there. And he's just re-recorded the entire album with a brand new band. We're going to let him have his say about, you know, the changes. We're going to talk about social networking and all kinds of stuff in the modern world. And, well... let's get to the goddamn show already.
Plays these songs, as you can hear easily on this new recording, in a very active and involved way that deserves to be heard and is great. I'd never subscribe to the way the first record sounded. The physical sound of the first record was not at all what I had in mind. And Slash Records and just ushered us through the studio in the space of a week and a half, some ridiculous amount of time like that, we were to do this entire record. I sang every song on that record in one day and did whatever else we did on another day. But anyway, the end result was not something that I particularly liked. You know, we got a chance to record the songs that we were playing at the time, and that was good, but I didn't like the physical sound of the record. I never did. And so this gave us an opportunity to, you know, put that much closer to the market.
This latest Fear record was recorded at the Compound in Los Angeles, California by Andrew James. Leaving of Fear. Will, tell us more about that studio.
It's a enormous recording complex. It's a private studio. It's a great studio. You know, a few people know about it, and the people that have it want to keep on the way they're going, you know, doing projects that they're interested in. It's not a walk-in type studio, you know, open to the public kind of thing, but it's a great studio, and I think more people will find out about it soon.
Just so I don't confuse anyone, I am looping the audio underneath the conversation, so these songs aren't, like, recorded longer than they should be. I'm just picking a section where the music loops and playing it over. The saxophone solo I keep looping and talking over is done by David Urquidy, and you'll probably want to pick up the album to hear that for real. Let's get back into this conversation with Leaving. This new Fear album was mixed by Bill Stevenson of the Descendants at the Blasting Room Studios, Fort Collins, Colorado.
We've known about each other for a long time, and as this project came up, it seemed like a really cool idea, and it just from the beginning, it worked great. It was a really good idea because the product that we got was great. Bill is real close to this kind of music and did a great job.
Additional guitars were recorded by John Lustow at Dave Grohl of Foo Fighters Studio 606 in Northridge, California.
I've been doing a project with Dave since last year, which started with a documentary interview sequence, Dave interviewing me based on the fact that Fear recorded its first record in that record we were just talking about a minute ago in Sound City Studios in Van Nuys. That was our first studio release. That was the Slash record, the Fear the record. And also Nirvana recorded their first record in Sound City Studios. And that studio has been torn down, but Dave has since bought that board, the Neve board, and installed it in his studio. So we recorded a song that Dave and Taylor play at soundcheck, but wasn't a song. So I wrote lyrics to it and a melody and harmonies and played guitar and sang the harmonies and played harmonica over it. And we recorded it at Studio 606. And in the process of that, I met several of the engineers who worked there, and Butch, his Dave's producer, who produced the Nirvana records. He recorded us there that day. I thought he did a great job. It sounded really cool. So when it came time for us to, I mean, that's an additional project to the record that we're releasing tomorrow. But when it came time to do our guitars for our record, I thought, well, wouldn't it be a good idea if we get like a slightly different sound from what we've been getting where we were? We're getting a great sound at the compound, but wouldn't it be cool if we could get some additional sound? So we did that, and the additional guitars, which were either doubled or matched or whatever the hell it was we did, I've forgotten by this time, solos, whatever, were all included in the production and then mixed. That's how that occurred. That's the why and the wherefore of that. But it really paid off. A couple days worth of work, and we got some additional real strong sounding guitars to layer into the thing that we were already doing.
There's so many episodes, so many episodes, so many episodes.
the overall sound of the first record sucked, and I always knew that. It was just, you know, something that I had on the back burner, a list of things to do that at such point as was possible to go back in the studio and record the fucking songs the way they're supposed to sound. And that's what I did. You know, I was very proud of that material that I wrote at that time, and the stuff that Philo and I wrote together, and the collaborations, the other collaborations that were on, you know, Durf stuff, Fresh Flesh, that he and I wrote, and all that. I thought it was great, and I thought it deserved more time in the studio than just getting shoved through in 1 week, you know, hi, goodbye. No one gave a shit, you know, they weren't into it. They were just in, you know, who was busy doing the running of the record company was busy getting as little money out the door as possible and as much money in the door as possible. And it got worse from there. Warner Brothers bought them out, and all the independent distributors said, well, we're not paying you for the first shipment. And they said, that's fine. And then turned around and didn't pay us anything. But don't put that in any interviews. I don't want to sound like I'm complaining. But, you know, it was very typical, traditional music business stuff. You look like you fell asleep, you just sit there and beat your meat. I don't want no satisfaction, just want to get some action from your feet down to your hair. Bodies flying through the air, they're climbing up the fucking walls. Get off your ass and choose a boss. I don't want no satisfaction, just want to get some action. Just give me 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 some action. You look like you fell asleep, just sit there and beat your meat. I don't want no satisfaction, just want to get some action from your feet. Thing that we used to go through in the old days, trying to get someone to do something for you and then trusting other people to do things for you. Now you can do them yourself. It's much improved. You know, you can record something, go to a company like TuneCore, they'll release it on iTunes for you. If you can drive a bunch of people to your website where there's a picture of what the thing is and how you buy it on iTunes, you can suture up the whole mess right there, you know, without having anybody giving you advances for which you'll never repay and paying you peanuts while they're taking $20 per record.
And ain't you seen in my baby sing, my baby talking about the low down skankadoo child. She don't like phonies, she don't like junkies, she don't like drunkies. She don't want five people on her.
I asked Leaving in Fear his opinion on social networking.
I'm in awe of it, and attempting to stay in touch with everybody who I'd like to stay in touch with by using it. That's how I feel about it. It's a great idea. The unfortunate part, and what's lacking in the equation, is not us having made this great music for so long. It's us getting with the new technology to the point where we're able to use it. You know, figuring out how to use Facebook and all the other social networking sites, which are now no longer social networking sites. Now they're business advertising extensions. And it's no longer, well, you don't have the luxury of saying, well, I'd prefer not to bother with, you know, those gossip personal sites. But no one who's in any sort of business that works over the internet has that freedom any longer. You have to deal with them. There has to be a way that, you know, you figure out how to use the part of the service that's what you need, and not stepping on their toes at the same time. You can't forget that not only do you do music, but you're involved in this thing called the music business. And although it's morphed and changed drastically, it's still a necessary evil part of the deal in order for you to get the thing that you love doing to as many people as possible. You have to deal with it, and you have to take care of it, do your homework. I'm preaching to myself here. I give myself some motivation by virtue of my own speech. Drive is always the same. It's the passion for music. It's not and never has been anything else. It's also, it's not particularly a choice. It's not something that you choose. It's something that you are. It's, you know, not something anyone's thrust upon you or that you've taken on to do nearly as much as it's something that you discovered is going on, and, you know, you're going to use it. If you put a little effort in it, if you know, you have the feeling for it, then perhaps you can make sounds that people will enjoy, and then there's a joy in bringing it to as many of them as you possibly can. And it's a megalomania in a way, but it's all built out of this passion that you have that I have for music, and that's why I love doing it. Not only do I love doing the Sphere Project because it gets out to lots of people, but there's every kind of music that I'm very interested in and want to pursue and release recordings in those different styles.
I asked Lee Ving if he was the type of musician who had songs written inside his head that no one had even heard before.
Millions, and things that I've heard over the years from the wonderful music I've been privileged to hear in places that I've been, that continue to come out in my writing and soloing and general playing and singing, of course. And so, it's an ongoing thing. It's not a choice, really. If you have this drive and you don't play, you find that you're miserable, and maybe you know, people have a harder time getting along with you, and then suddenly you realize, oh, that's what's been missing. I haven't been playing. And sure enough, you add that to the mix, and then everything comes back to harmony and stasis, and you know, the way it's supposed to be. I could be in the studio entirely, which would just be fine. I'd be really content to do that, and at some point, I think that's what will occur.
Electroshocking up. Disciplinary correction of surgery. Give up. Trust the government. Be a homeowner. Get to the sky. Disconnected. 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 All the primetime TV shows say the middle class are homos. Get
over the course of the next couple tracks, you'll hear clips from the conversation I had with Leaving, where I got him to discuss with me just a little bit of the history of fear in the 1970s.
The fear thing took place at 1978 plus. That's basically when it started. There had been other things going on way prior to that time.
Scurry up and pass it around. Get to stop.
First moved to California, there was just industry music. The punk rock thing hadn't happened yet. And it was very difficult to get anyone to put up money for you to record a demo or to do anything like that. They really didn't want to hear it. You had to have a band with a following and a club that you could bring people out to. And that's expensive to put a production like that together. It was difficult. Then the punk rock thing happened, and all of a sudden there was all these clubs that were full of people, and you could go in there and play with a better band than was mostly happening throughout that scene, and maybe bring the record companies down too. And I thought, what a good idea that would be. And in the process, you know, just fell in love with this, got into the idea of not having to tailor your lyrics to anything other than what you wanted to say. In fact, you know, the worse the better in some respects. So it was just meant to happen. Actually, even though it wanted to be so anti-commercial, that very fact of it being so different by wanting to be that way made it commercial. It was a social scene and it was a music scene. And the last, what was part of what drew me to the audience was the audience. They were so active, you know, the band would start to play and the audience would start beating the daylights out of each other. That this is great, they're really paying attention to the band, you know. and I just thought it looked really healthy. It hadn't looked like that before. And this new, it was a scene. The last time it was a social scene that incorporated music was like when the Beatles first happened. And that was when people started growing their hair long, taking drugs, and dropping out. 1966, 1967, 1968. That was a huge time. That's when the Rolling Stones first got popular. You know, there was the Grateful Dead, the San Francisco scene, the English Invasion. All that shit happened musically at the same time. And at the same time was going on Motown, Stevie Wonder, the Four Tops, the Temptations, Sam and Dave, Wilson Pickett, Otis Redding, you know, and the Butterfield Band, all these jazz artists. It was a really healthy musical time. And that's what I wanted to bring some of to this audience that was better than any audience I've ever seen. And that's what drew me to start this stuff.
Your
What is evil?
Fresh flesh, slinging down your street. Fresh fish, won't you eat my meat? Fresh fish, oozing through the slime. Fresh fish, and the city's mine. Fresh fish, fresh fish. I'm in a subway ditch, chewing on some old bitch, with nothing else to do. I just might get to you. You get in my way, cut your leg for pay. Drop your downtown, watch out for the road.
There'd be people that would show up to audition for this thing I was putting together, and I would tell them that the first note was an E, and they'd look down at the instrument like, you know, oh my God, I wish I knew where there were any E's on there. I bet there was a bunch. And, you know, that's not what I was looking for. I was looking for a skilled player of that instrument so that it would not bore someone to tears who was being made to listen to it, and it would sound good. It would keep my interest. I want to learn something from the players that are in my band. I don't want to stagnate, you know. I don't want it to get better all the time. And that keeps everybody's interest.
I don't care if you're dead. I don't care if you shoot reds. I don't care if you are fucked up with this. Let on your dress. First flesh. First flesh. First flesh. First flesh.
I'm going to play the second to last song right now, and I'm going to save the very last song for the end of the show. Actually, there's a bit of the interview that I'm going to save for the very end of this entire podcast, where I talk with Lee Ving about his desire to start a project with Steve Jones of the Sex Pistols, a little bit about his country project, and assorted other stuff that, well, it just didn't fit into this track by track. So let's listen to a little bit of this second to last track. Remember, we've got one more track to play at the very end of the podcast. Lee, do you have any parting words?
No, heck, man. I appreciate you being interested and, you know, saying good words about us. And play this new record for us, man. See if we can break this puppy loose.
She doesn't answer. She just leaves me hanging over here. You know what I mean? Over there.
We're going to take a break from the fear stuff for a little while, and I'm going to play a song from a band called Doom to Obscurity. I'd like to thank Dave Glass and the members of Doom to Obscurity for sending me the package with the shirts, the promo CD. I am really grateful. I'm going to play a song that I played on here before because I want you guys to really get to know this band. This is Doom to Obscurity from their upcoming self-titled album. This song is called One More War.
One more war. One more war. Five and I as a bird. One more war. One more war.
How about something new from the Casualties from the album Resistance? This song is called Warriors on the Road. Side One Dummies just reissued the Smoking Popes album, Born to Quit. So be sure to go to sideonedummies.com to pick that up. Or, you know how to use Google. This is a song from that album called Rubella. Playing something from the Quakes album that came out this year. This one's more of a instrumental track, but it really kicks ass, and it's a cover, so it's got like a Spanish name that I probably will completely not say right. This is Festa do Azteca y Piuja from the Quakes album, Planet Obscure. Let's stick to the Arizona region and play the band Calabrese. I played this song once before on this podcast, but I don't want to play too many different songs from them. This is The Dead Don't Rise. They got a new video for it. Check it out on YouTube. This is from their album, Day Glow Necros.
Fuck!
I feel like playing something from No Trigger. This one's called Insider. It's from the album Tycoon. This album, self-entitled. This one's called Sell Out.
She asked me if I was a singer, then called me husband. She said she really liked my band in the early 90s. Oh yeah. I said stop saying those mean things, my ego is so fragile.
From the UK, they sent me their album. It's fucking great. You gotta check it out. Their album is called Chapters. I'm sure if you look up River Jumpers and Chapters, you'll find the album. You might even be able to find it streaming online still. This is the title track from the album. This song is called Chapters.
Pick me or chuck me out. This news is weighing me down. The room is full tonight, but I can barely hear a sound. I'm struggling. Rise up from this. Let's dive straight to
going to play something a little off the mark, but it's really good. This is a great song. I'm not really a huge fan of Sister Sin, but they've got a new album out called Now and Forever, and this is a kick-ass song called In It For Life. Ladies and gentlemen, Leaving of Fear.
I'm calling you from Rochester, New York. You ever been to Rochester?
Sure. When we were first doing national touring, we would stop in Rochester more in those days than we have eventually begun to do. But I think that this time, in that we have a new record that we want to play for everybody, we'll be going everywhere. And so I'm sure that that will include Rochester and Buffalo, and you know, those are two places that I think we would tour consistently in the old days, when we would go everywhere, when it was more fun to just make enough money to get to the next town.
I personally think it does sound great. It sounds a lot better, and I like the. I think it's got a lot more energy.
I have to agree with that.
I mean, it sounds like you really like went all out in the vocal duties, just putting as much excitement in there as you could.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
So, I mean, this time around, you recorded it over a course of 2 weeks in May.
That's what it says on the record.
What does that mean?
it may have taken a day or two longer to record than is being owned up to in the liner notes.
Well, you know, you got to round up or down, right?
And also, you got to entertain yourself.
Yeah.
And hopefully, a few of the folks along the way.
So, when you started out, what year was that? Did you start releasing music?
Heck, that must have been at least a couple of years ago.
So it's like
22 right now. So it must have been It must have been. Two, three years ago. Anyway.
Right. Yeah. And I hear these interviews with the guys. You know, the original guitar players of the Sex Pistols talking about how they're not. You know. That never mind the Bullocks is their most popular work, but it's not their most proudest.
Right, I'll bet you there's way more stuff. I mean, that's their most popular record. I loved it. I thought that was a great record.
Right.
But the record, Steve's guitar playing was great. The sound of the guitar was great, and I loved it. I still compare stuff. I still find myself being in the studio and say, yeah, get that kind of sound. Go to that neighborhood, kind of, you know, as a description.
Yeah, just to be clear, that's not my opinion, but this is definitely something that I've heard that he's had his own personal opinion is that he doesn't like to listen to that album. But maybe that's how we are, you know. Sometimes as artists, people are harder on themselves than
they need to be.
Yeah.
And it makes it unpleasant to either like see yourself in a film or to listen to something that you're playing when everybody else, there's nothing wrong with it and everybody else is digging it. That's possible. But, you know, Steve is such a good guitar player that I'd have to think that from one record, there's probably so much more stuff that he can do that he would like the world to hear, that to just hear only that it probably might piss you off, you know, and, you know, make you angry with yourself or something. So, you know, I could understand it, definitely. I'd love to put a project together with Steve.
That'd be great.
We very well may do that. That's every time I see him at the tattoo shop, I tell him that.
I think it's really interesting. You have the side project, the country stuff that you do.
Yeah, that's something that I was doing much more of a while back, and something I've been doing somewhat less of recently, although that may not be entirely true, because a couple of years ago, I took the nuts and bolts of Range War and put together a bluegrass band, you know, without a drummer, you know, upright bass player, and mandolin, dobro, guitar, and four singers. So everybody played and sang. And we played at the Crossroads at Hollywood and Highland and Hollywood. And that's the only time we've ever played. We came out and did one show and then packed it up. But the Range War material was all recorded, some of it live. And I mastered it and got it onto a digital format. And I'm soon to release it. All I need to do is get it through TuneCore, I can be assured that it'll be released. That's the beauty of TuneCore, by the way.
Right. Did you play a song from the Range War on that Radio Like You Want show? Because I think I've heard some of it on there. Maybe they just found a YouTube video or something. I don't know.
No. Radio Like, was that a San Francisco show?
Yep, with Blag and Mike.
Yeah. I think what I did that time is I really took a chance because it was a studio full of drunk punkers from Frisco. And it was Blag's, it was his show, I think.
Yeah.
But there were two other bands in the house, and you know, they were a little drunk, and they weren't going to be too respectful. And so, you know, this is going out to everybody. And so I got to be careful to make sure that I, you know, I slam them down with something really ugly if they say anything cross to me. So I got to be prepared for that. At the same time that I decided to sing this aria from Puccini's Turandot. This is like mixed emotions, man. This is like your mother-in-law driving over a cliff and your brand new Cadillac. So I'm about to sing this song, and I can hear there in the background, and they want to snicker, and man, I nailed the fucking tune, and they couldn't really say anything, so it worked out just fine. But it was a testicle moment. I mean, a testy moment. What are they saying?
Yeah, so I suggest to anyone that can find your interviews on radio like you want.
Well, you know, I'm like the Energizer Rabbit. Sometimes you wind some guys up, and they just don't quit.
That's right. All right, Lee, it's been great talking to you. I appreciate you coming on my show.
No, heck, man, I appreciate you being interested and, you know, saying good words about us. And play this new record for us, man. See if we can break this puppy loose. If we could be a hit in San Francisco, maybe we'll move up there. Just kidding.
All right, yeah, so if you come to Rochester, I'll definitely keep my eyes open and see where you guys are touring.
Definitely, man, we'll be there. If you're talking to Blag in San Fran, tell him we said howdy.
No, I'm not in San Francisco. I'm in Rochester.
Well, I know you're not, but I knew that you knew him, man. So, man, you know, I know you did your airwaves persons are, you know, you guys stick together.
It's been one of my favorite shows to listen to. And I get to hear about punk legends like yourself, so. All right, well, you know, keep going strong, Lee. Thanks a lot for being on the show.
Thanks, man. I'll be talking to you soon.
All right, great.
Take care.
You too.
There you have it. I forgot to tell you that I was going to just take all the clips and mush them together, so some of that might not have made quite sense in conversation, like the way that it flowed, but I think... if you go back and listen to it again, you'll see how there's no way I went from this topic to the next topic. I just mushed it all together for you to listen to some of the funnier parts that were in there. Lee Ving, he's a real funny guy. But he's a very serious musician also, so... No disrespect, of course. I'm going to leave you with the last song on the new album, The Fear Record. Or Fear the Record, however you want to say it. This one's called No More Nothing. Thanks for listening to Black Art Radio. Go out, go on Google, look up the re-release of the Fear Record. I think that it's probably fear.com or something of that nature. Let me look. Scratch that. They don't have a website, but they have a Facebook page. Maybe they got a Twitter. You know how to do it. Find them on Facebook, Fear the Band Official. And I'm sure you've heard better interviews with Lee Ving. That's great. Good for you. Wonderful. But it was fun for me to talk to the guy. So here we go. Without further ado, Fear from the Fear Record. This is No More Nothing.
No, heck, man. I appreciate you being interested and, you know, saying good words about us.
No more nothing.